Morning, everyone. Fantastic sort of to be here. So as you know, we were in Edinburgh last week. That's why we weren't here. We weren't bunking church. But we had a fantastic trip down there. It was great to see the sort of a church that's also worshiping God in another place. So I'm going to share the similar message to what I shared with them. But obviously, it's as God has put things in with me now that I've actually sort of taken it. So I've entitled it A Many-Membered Body. So if you remember, Russ gave a sermon 2 weeks ago. It wasn't last week because I wasn't here. So it must have been the week before. And I'm sort of, if you want, I'm sort of going on further from that message. As you know, I led a church when I was in Zimbabwe called Gateway Church, funny enough, to start with. And we then changed the name to The Base. The big thing we used to preach to everyone was that the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And of course, we all know what the Great Commandment is. Love God with, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, the Great Commandment. So and of course, that's found in Matthew 22, also in some of the others, but Matthew 22. And then, of course, the Great Commission, also in Matthew, but is to take the gospel to all nations and baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and teach them to obey all things. But to take that gospel to all nations, that is the Great Commission. It's the last thing that Jesus said before he sent the disciples out. And we used to take the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, and we turned it into our, I don't know what you want to call it, our mandate, what the church was there for. We were for God, for each other, and for the nations. So I wanted to have a look at today at the body and how the body is actually here for God, for each other, and for the nations. Now you can go through a whole lot of different aspects of the body. I'm going to look at only three things because most of you know when I preach, I like to preach three things. The reason I do that, by the way, is because hopefully you can remember that. If I preach seven, the chance of you remembering any of them is probably nil. But with three, maybe we can actually remember some of those. So we're going to start off. You want to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Now, I've got quite big sections of scripture that I'm going to be reading, but because they have quite a lot in it before they actually tell you the sort of the whole point of what they're doing. But in Colossians, now the letter of Colossians, it's partnered with the letter of Ephesians. As a matter of those of you who sort of gone through the Bible a lot, will know that Ephesians and Colossians have a lot of very similar things that they actually say. They're very similar passages in both. And Ephesians, put the paper down, right. Ephesians is actually telling you that the church is the body of Christ. But Colossians is telling you that Christ is the head of the body. And so they go nicely together, as you can see. So let's just read Colossians 1, verses 18 to 23. In verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning. Maybe I should read what's on here, eh? No, I'll read on here. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. So what we have here is what he says there is that Christ is the head of the body. He is the one that we are proclaiming. He is the one that is actually in charge of all that we're actually proclaiming. And he is the one that reconciles us to what we are. And if you go through Colossians, it actually talks about the fact that he is preeminent in everything. He should be the one that is glorified. Now, if you look at yourself, you know that you should be a reflection of Jesus. But in actual fact, you know that we as a church should be a reflection of Jesus. Now, again, people who know us will know that Jeanette and I love whodunits. We love, I don't know if anyone else here loves whodunits, but we love these, unfortunately, we love the murder whodunits, you know, the one where where there's, it always starts, every murder whodunit starts where there's a dead body. And what is the first thing you have to do when you find a dead body? You have to identify who it is. And now, one of the whodunits we used to enjoy is a series called Bones. And generally what had happened in Bones, either the head was missing or it was something really dramatic like that. Because, of course, once that happens, it's very hard to work out who that body is. You've got to go through a whole lot of things to do it. But if the body has a head, the first thing you do is look at the face of the person on there and you can identify who that body is. Do you know that should be the same as us in the church? People should look at you and be able to identify who you are. And hopefully they can do that when they see you, you know, as you are. We used to have a friend, and this friend loved talking about vehicles. And so whenever we saw him, we would always think about the certain vehicles that he would drive. It was Mercedes, actually, that he loved. And not the new Mercedes, but these old Mercedes. And he had them all scattered over his yard and in different states of repair and fixing and that. But you want to know the terrible thing about being with him was you'd be with him for about 5 minutes. And if there was a lull in the conversation, you knew exactly where that conversation was going. You know, he would be back to talking about Mercedes again because that was his passion. But you know, when people look at us, who do they actually see? What do they think of? What do they reflect? And you as an individual should be reflecting Jesus. But you want to know that we as a church should be reflecting Jesus. People, when they come in here, they should see the face of Jesus in us. In Zimbabwe, we had we've had a chat where you've got the vision and values of the church. And often the pastor would love to stand up here and we'll tell you what the vision and values of the church. These are the things that we value in the church that are very important. And let me tell you, those are good things to tell. What we did in Zimbabwe, we took it a step further. We decided, those are the visions we want to have, but what do people know us for? So we did the hard task of actually going and asking other churches and other people of how they saw us as a church. What was interesting, we then listed those values and we listed the values that we wanted to reflect and saw what they were like. And what we realized was a lot of the values that we used to stand up every week and say, this is what we should be known for, were not so much values as they were ideals. They were what we were aiming at. They weren't what we were actually reflecting. But it was interesting that we were reflecting a number of them, but we came to realize the important values that they were. And you as an individual, what values are you reflecting? And we as a church, what values are we reflecting? We should be reflecting Jesus and all of the things that we are known for. Are we known as a friendly church? Jesus was friendly. Do you know that Jesus, when he went around, people were attracted to him? As a matter of fact, who was attracted to him? Was it just the wealthy in there? No, it was actually everybody. As a matter of fact, even the sinners and the prostitutes and the tax collectors were attracted to him. And he was a magnet. He was a magnet. He was someone that could draw people in. He could actually draw people in to himself. And we should be that as a church as well. We should be able to draw people in. People should look at us and see Jesus. Absolutely. So we need to actually have where we can actually, not only in here, but when we are actually fellowshipping. Children's church, we should be reflecting Jesus. So let's go on to the next point. And if you want to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, this is a famous section. So I'm going to read the whole section first because it's quite a long section. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 14 to 27. It says, "For the body does not consist of one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. And if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be the weaker are indispensable. And those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greatest honor. And our unrepresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, and with our presentable part, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may be the same, have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Now I want you to actually, if you look at 1 Corinthians 12, now if you, being a sort of a charismatic church, don't we often think when we talk about 1 Corinthians 12, what do we think of? It's the gift of the Spirit. That's the chapter that's telling us about the gift of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14, that's the chapter that tells us about tongues and prophecy. You know, those are where our mind goes. Do you want to know, though, that 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are not actually about the gifts of the Spirit? Heresy. Okay. What they're actually about is unity. What it's actually about is saying, and by the way, a side product of those chapters is the gifts. So it's not wrong in seeing the gifts there. But in actual fact, the thrust of those chapters is saying, don't allow the gifts to cause a division in the church. We should use all those gifts for unifying. We should use those gifts to honor each other, not to say, you guys aren't as good as me because I speak in tongues. Or you guys aren't as good as me. I can go and actually prophesy. As a matter of fact, we should be using it to honor each other and to help each other to grow. We should be helping each other to become more like Christ. And a reading that I was doing this morning, which sort of struck me as quite strange, is how we give honor often to the person, like for example, the person that everyone sort of knows in the church is generally the guy preaching or the guy leading. They'll know who that is. But you take the person sitting in the back row or the children that have gone out, you don't really know who they are. They're just sort of people in the church, as it were. And you want to know that Jesus turned that totally on its head. And I was looking at the story. We all know the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Okay, in Luke chapter 16, if you need to find it. Now, Lazarus and the rich man, here you've got a story that Jesus actually turns totally on its head. Because now, if we were telling a story of Lazarus and the rich man, what we would be telling is the story of Lazarus and the beggar. We would have given a name to the rich man. We would not have given a name to the beggar because he's just a beggar. But the rich guy, we would have said, that's important. Jesus, when he told the story, he was, I'm going to tell you about this guy, the beggar, called Lazarus. Oh, and there's a rich man with him. He's just a dude, you know, he's just another dude in the story. So he doesn't give him a name. Do you want to know how big that is? You know, and I think we can hear that and we can miss that whole point. And then when Lazarus dies, now imagine this rich man. He walked past Lazarus every day and didn't even know he was there. But Lazarus dies, he goes up to Abraham's bosom. He actually goes up into the arms of the Father. The rich man dies, he ends up in Hades. He ends up, you know, in torment. And when he's talking to Jesus, Jesus actually turns around and says, you know, you had all these things in your life, but now Lazarus is comforted. And I was actually thinking, what was one of the things that Jesus was telling the rich man that he should have done? Well, one of the things, of course, is to get to know Jesus. But in his life, he should have taken note of Lazarus. He should have honored, because Lazarus, where was Lazarus? It was at his gate. And yet he never took note of him. Just walked past him, ignored him every day. And now suddenly they get to heaven and the true things happen. God actually places us with those who actually have a relationship with him and not based on how important we are in this world. In a church, we need to honor each other. Not because someone has an important role or someone has that. We need to honor each other because we are important parts of the body. And every part of the body is important. If you're a foot, you're important. If you're a hand, you're important. And what Russ mentioned last time, and I'm wanting to focus on that, is it's the joints that actually make these things work. And the joint are our relationships. You know, what is your relationship like with the other people around you? And it's very easy to become very inward focused, isn't it? That it's all about me. You know, the hand wants to pick up everything and do everything. But in actual fact, the hand can only go to places if the feet walk there. You know, if the feet aren't walking, the hand's stuck where he is. He can want to go help on the keyboard, but it's not going to happen. So we need all the other parts of the body to function, but we need to honor the other parts of the body. And this also means, you know, I love the fact that it says there that when one part of the body hurts, we all hurt. When one part of the body rejoices, we all rejoice. And I love the fact that we could rejoice today with some of the guys that are going away. Now, some of them, maybe that's not rejoicing for some of us, but that are going away to something that we can actually celebrate with them and rejoice with them. We heard about Kylie today, and we can actually rejoice with Kylie. But you know, we also should be praying for parts of the body that are hurting. I was thinking of Brian with his wife, Pam. And we need to be praying for that. And you want to know something? You know that you can rejoice with something and also be hurt with something at the same time. I don't know if you've ever, you know, you can have something great you're holding in one hand, and with your other hand, you can actually sort of slip and fall and hurt it. Let me tell you, you're both in pain and rejoicing. But we've got to do both. We've got to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, but we must also cry with those who are crying. Do you know when one part of your body hurts, the whole body aches? I don't know if you've ever stubbed your toe. Let me tell you, that affects my head is even affected by my toe. You know, it might be for the furthest thing away, but let me tell you, it's my teeth are being gritted. I'm trying my best not to say words that I shouldn't say, you know, all these sort of things. So you're very affected by what happens in your body. We need to honor each other. We need to honor the joints. We need to honor the different parts of the body. So we need to be known to reflect Christ, have the face of Christ, but we need to be known for the love we have for each other, that we actually work together. But then you want to know that if we go to the last thing, if you want to read Ephesians 4, verse 11 to 15. And now this again is a chapter we know well, but I want to focus on something slightly different in it. In verse 11 of Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto him who is the head, into Christ. As a body, you know that there are different types of bodies in the world. There are trees, for example. We were talking about the fact we're going into autumn and the trees have leaves that sort of all are falling in different colors. Jeanette sort of mentioned today that it's like suddenly the leaves become like flowers. And I love that sort of picture. It's the beautiful picture. But you want to know something? Trees don't go very far. A tree that's planted here, do you know, 100 years from now, it'll probably be a big tree here. And what they do is they have roots that go down into the ground. And they of course, it's nice that they're stable and all that, but they don't travel. But you want to know that people haven't been given roots. As a person, you've been given feet. Now, why have you been given feet? It's because God expects you to go. God expects you to move. A body is made to move. A body's not made. As a matter of fact, if you've seen some of these people who are, and we see it often in the movies, isn't it, with the kids, where they're stuck watching TV or something, and slowly they just get bigger and fatter, and in the end, someone's got to come get a crane to sort of move them out of the house. But we're not. That's not what we were created to be. We were created to do things. We were created to move. And part of that moving is to go on the mission God has told us to do. We're to take the gospel out. Now, some people believe that every Christian should be going to the nations. And I say amen. But the problem is, one of the nations we should be going to is England. And the problem is, we often forget that. You know, and one of the towns we need to be going to is Liverpool. So we've got to go to the nations. And I do believe, by the way, one of us is going to another nation far away right now. So God will send us to different nations. And I believe God will do that. He will actually prepare us and send us away to all different nations. Yeah? Yes. Get around that, yeah. Interestingly enough, that is one of the things we've got to do is we can only be the example we can be. And I think that exactly what you're saying, we need to be the light in the neighborhood around us. As a matter of fact, because people will only go, one of the reasons people go to church is because someone asked them. Do you know that? That's the main reason people will go to church is because someone asked them. We've done that where we've asked someone, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes we've asked someone, and because they're a friend, they don't know how to say no. So, you know, but let me tell you, I actually think the church needs to get back to a point. What's actually happened is we've turned the church into clubs. And they're these lovely little clubs where we stay together as our mates, and we won't grow. And then, as you say, there'll be a decline in numbers. But if we can get to a point where we're actually asking people to come back in. And of course, you've got to ask people to come in to become part of, involved in that. And that is, each of us need to be doing that. It's not up to the pastor, by the way. And I think that's what's happened in the past. We've relied on the Billy Grahams and all of that. The way the world's gone, those are still great, But I think it's going to be up to us as individuals to take the gospel out. And we need to be doing that into our neighborhoods, into our families. By the way, some of the people that you need to go in the world are in your family. We were talking, was it Carol, talking about praying for people to come back? We need to be praying for that so that we can come back to Christ. But you need to be reflecting Christ. So that to me, by the way, that's actually everything I want to cover today. if we can go out as an individual, but as a body, are we the face of Christ? Do people look at us and see Christ? Are we connected to each other? Are our joints all connected? Are we showing love to one another? And are we going out with the gospel as we go out? So maybe think of that as we go through this week. Just take that with you as you go through this week and reflect Christ in all that you're doing. Because you know, as you go out, the church is not this building. The church is the people that make it up. So as we go out, we are the church in the neighborhood. We are the church going out. And I remember we had a church around the road from us that used to say, as you went out of the church, it had a writing above the door saying, the mission field starts here. So as you left, you were going into the mission field. And that's what we need to be doing as we go out. So today, just remember that the church that God wants is a body that has the face of Jesus on it. And we need to be the hands and feet. Amen.